Okay, Wednesday e afternoon, evening, 7:324. We're going to talk about the peace busters tonight. There's things that kick us out of our peace, and I told Danny earlier, I said the Lord kind of took me in an area I wasn't expecting. So let's get into it. It won't be real long, but it'll be good. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1 and 2 there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So, isn't that what it's all about? The glory of God is Christ in us, the hope of glory. All right. That didn't have peace in it, but I like that scripture. Let me read it again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It does say peace. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people call Jesus the Prince of Peace. That's what he came to do. Really, restoring peace, that's what we need in this world. It's a mess. There's so much unrest and no peace everywhere you look. And so when Jesus comes, what's going to be restored? Peace. Yeah. All right. Romans 16, 20. I just typed it out here. It says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Looking forward to that day. Satan's goal is not only to steal the word, but to steal your peace. All right. We're going to look at a few scriptures with peace in them. The first one is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. To me, you know, there's been different times the Lord has healed me. And when I was seeking healing, when I knew it was a done deal, is when I had the peace. It sealed it. It was like, that's what we need. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. This is what it means here: confusion, instability, and disorder. I see that. I don't see a lot of peace. Not in the church, not the churches I've been to, not really. Peace means to join. Who are we joining up with? God, Jesus. Confusion is Satan's game by dividing and conquering. He's trying to steal your peace from you. So you are confused, you are divided, you don't know one end from the other, you don't know what you're going to do, and you're going to act just like the world acts because he's stolen your peace. Okay. All right, now go to Ephesians chapter 4. I tell you today, when you're seeking about an answer, don't stop till you got the peace. All right, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Is it any wonder today that the church is so fragmented, fighting among ourselves instead of the peace ruling? If Satan can interrupt that bond, then we are confused and we lose our sense of direction. We're like a ship adrift. Yeah. Peace makes the call always. Like I said, if you're seeking God about something, don't stop until you got the peace. And when you got the peace, you can take it to the bank. I promise you. All right, this is Colossians 3:15, that scripture that says that. And let the peace of God rule. Think about what is what's rule? That means absolute, complete authority. Rule in your hearts. To the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. How? Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we're going to have peace ruling in our hearts when we keep our mouths in line with the word, right? With the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Whatever you say in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. So our conduct is going to follow that way of peace. If the peace of God is ruling in your heart, then you're not going to be having your breakdowns and all the things that go with it, right? You're going to be calm and cool like a cucumber under duress. All right. Just think of a baseball umpire. You're safe. When you find the peace, you're safe. There's no more need to fear. You're safe when you found the peace. That's that peace that passes understanding. That's what gets us in trouble. This peace, and I've had that happen to me. The peace that passes understanding, it settled the matter for me. Doesn't mean that fear doesn't try to come against you, but you've got an anchor for the soul. In other words, when you are facing a situation, you get the peace from God, and the enemy tries to come in with his lies and fear, you can say, no, I got the umpire made the call. Peace is ruling here. You have no place here. No place. All right, go to Philippians 4. There's all kinds of good scriptures. This is 4:4. This is all about your mind here. Starting there, we're going to start with verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with request, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes everything you're going through, all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, that peace, whatsoever is true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I mean, Paul, he's an expert. He had been in, you know, you've heard all the perils of Paul and all the things he went through, but he always seemed, even when he was stoned to death and went to heaven like some teach, I don't dispute that, he got up and he walked into the city and taught. Can you imagine how he must have looked? The peace of God ruled in that man to shake off the viper. The peace of God ruled in that guy. He let the peace of God rule in his life, and that's where why he got to the place he got. He didn't learn it overnight. I'd like to know, in all these lost books supposedly, is there anything about his time on the backside of the desert there in Arabia, all that he learned from God before he walked on the scene? I'd like to know. Peace is a force that bypasses the mind or the understanding. It's a force. When you got peace, man, nothing like it. Peace is our gauge for everything we do. If you're going to buy something, peace makes the call. If you get the peace and you're not going to end up with people that you're unhappy with, or a vehicle you don't want, or a this or that you don't want, or you don't like, God always, if we wait on Him and we let peace make the call in the situation, it will be the best. God don't make no junk, and He knows everything. And so therefore, the one that knows everything should be dictating what we are listening to, not the devil. All right, how do we go from peace to confusion? All right, I'm going to show you how we go from peace to confusion. All right, Romans 8. I've already read you some scriptures that were kind of markers, kind of indicating. All right, 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So, there's not any condemnation in Christ Jesus. So why are you condemning yourself? You know, there's no reason for it because God makes the call. Peace rules. So when we get on ourselves and we berate ourselves, what are we saying? God, you're not doing a very good job. You know, when you became born again, you died. And now your life is here with Christ and God. And what does that mean? It means He makes the calls concerning your life when you wait on Him. And you don't need to be criticizing yourself because God don't make no junk. You may be in a process. We all are. We're going from glory to glory. It didn't say from pit to pit. So first of all, what makes you lose your peace? Getting on yourself. Second guessing yourself. All the time. It'll get you to where you don't want to do anything. You're scared you're going to make a wrong move. Fear gets into play there. Can I get an amen? Nothing could be any truer than that fact. A lot of times we are our own worst enemy. The devil does his stuff, and he certainly needs to get the credit for the stuff he does. But we are our own worst enemies thinking we should be further along. We should be able to do this. And God's saying, well, you're not ready for that yet. Trust me with your life and with my plan for your life. He knows just when to move you out. If you move out too soon, you fall on your face, right? All right, James 5:12. I told you the Lord took me a direction I didn't intend to go, or I did intend to go. I was following the Holy Spirit, but it surprised me. I thought, Lord, I hadn't really thought about it. 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. All those words, we get upset and start saying stuff we really don't want, we really don't mean, and we shouldn't be saying. About ourselves and maybe others. See, we can rip the peace right out from under us if we do. Yeah. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Why all the confusion? That's just a simple thing. Satan does use condemnation to cause confusion and for us to lose our umpire, our guidance. God's making the call. But we can also trigger these things ourselves. I think more times than not, we are the trigger over the devil. We can blame the devil for a lot of things, and he does do a lot of things, but how much of it is our fault? Because we're not doing what Philippians said, dwelling on the good things, the lovely, good report. Right here, Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be what? Condemned. Self-assassination. You know, Jesus says who we are in him. Do you believe it? Then why would you talk down to a son of God? You are a son of God. And you sit at the highest place, seated with him in heavenly places. You need to take a new view of yourself. I'm thinking, Lord, you're absolutely right. Forgive me for bashing you and accusing you of not being a very good father. All right. Titus. Something to think about. You are not your business. You're God's business. Let him say, okay, now you're ready to do this. Now you're ready to do that. Instead of saying, you're so stupid, you never do anything right. I just miss it all the time. I just don't seem to ever get it right. And you're wondering why you're struggling? Peace left the building with Elvis. Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers. Well, you know, condemnation, that's when we start accusing others about things. As becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Let the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. And he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient with their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, but our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. He's talking about how you're supposed to act as a Christian. Lovely. Good report. To yourself and others. All right, the next one is, well, let me, I wrote some other things down here. Well, go to Romans 2:1. Oh, this is a good one. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. This includes yourself. I'm surprised sometimes the Lord didn't say, quit talking about my daughter, my son like that. I got them just where I want them. It's kind of like being in school. We're learning God's ways. And we shouldn't be upset when they're not as far along as we think we should be. But we don't call the shots. The schoolmaster calls the shots, right? And that's God. All right, Romans 14. I'm going to start with 22 there. That's 15, 14, 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's what's great about this gospel. We don't have Old Testament customs to follow. That's been done away with. It's now the inner walk. And in the inner walk, the Lord will say, well, you're free to do that. And maybe someone else, he said, no, you're not. So we don't have any right to be condemning somebody else over what they allow. Okay. All right. Sometimes we're our worst enemy. Getting down on yourself about things. Just as Satan has no right to accuse us, we also do not have the right to accuse ourselves. God is the righteous judge, and we need to let him be the judge, even over us. We need to speak about ourselves with grace and not condemnation, just as we do about others. This will keep the peace busters out of your life and will disrupt the flow of peace that God has given us to rule and reign. See, we can't rule any other way but by peace. That's it. Peace is supposed to rule, right? It will keep us joined instead of separated from God's plan in our lives. See, the confusion means to, or peace means to join. Join who? The Holy Spirit. He's God in our lives, right? Okay, 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. This know also, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It sounds like they wrote that today. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, out of them all the Lord delivered me. How? Peace. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been advised or assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, God wants us to live and walk in peace. That's what we're learning to do. Not letting what the devil does affect us anymore. We make it or break it with our words. And we live in a time where our yea must be yea and our nay, nay. Yeah. When we speak it, it needs to be with purpose and not vain words like the world speaks. Yeah. Because what we see around us and all of that, how do you think it got here? Spoken. All right, let's go back to Titus. I just read one scripture there last. I'm going to read the rest. Well, I read 1 through 10. I want to read the rest of it. Where did you go? There you go. This is chapter 2, 15 through 17. Wait a minute, I've got it. Wait a minute, I read through 10, 11 through 15, excuse me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So in these times, we need more people talking about the goodness of God and the peace of God. You know, to berate yourself is to say, Father didn't know best, did he? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he does. All right. We are to extend as much grace to ourselves as we do the others. God will deal with Satan shortly, but today Father is dealing with us. Let's get our words in line with him and leave the judging up to him. Now I want to read you one more scripture and we're going to be done here. Revelation 12:10. This is coming. It's closer now than it's ever been. This is 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So, what's going to overcome the devil and his accusations? Peace. Peace is going to cause us to rule. Because that's where we're going into this millennial reign, 1,000 years. Let's read Romans 5:17. Give you a reminder here. And then that will be the last one. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Now you can see how dangerous offense is. One man caused all this trouble to come on humanity. One man from the devil, listening to the devil. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We don't have to live under it. All right. Give yourself a break. Okay? Be kind to yourself. God's not angry at you. He's pleased with you. All right.